The last 2 weeks we have been talking about Christ's Great Commission. And there have been two main points which I have been quite eager to make concerning this Great Commission of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One is that the primary place where Christ designed disciples should be made is the church. It is the task of the church to make disciples, and it is in the context of the church that Christ directs that disciples are best made. And of course, this means that the focus of the church, our focus, ought to be on that great task of making disciples. The other main point concerns the scope of discipleship. In these lessons, we have attempted to expand our understanding of discipleship in order that we might see its vast scope. Making disciples means bringing people into the fellowship of the Church of Christ. Making disciples involves teaching converts the Word of God. It means teaching them all that Christ has commanded. And not only so, it means teaching them to observe and to practice all that Christ has commanded. Simply put, making disciples is the great task of seeing the lives of men and women change and brought more and more into conformity to the Word of God. And that's a great task. It's a lifetime task. But now the question remains, from where does the power come to accomplish this great task? The Lord Jesus answers very plainly and pointedly in our text. Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and upon earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That great commission of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the commission itself, is sandwiched, if you will, in between a great claim of Christ and words of great comfort that come from Christ. Listen to that great claim in verse 18. "All authority has been given to me in heaven and upon earth." And those words of great comfort in verse 20. "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Today I want to look at that power which undergirds the great commission, this great claim of Christ, and these words of great comfort given to us by Christ. And of course, as we look at the fact that this power underlies the great commission, we must see that that power is applied to our lives, to your life, and to my life. First of all, look at that claim. All authority, Jesus says. Listen to that. All authority. When our Lord spoke these words, he had already been raised from the grave of death. He had suffered, you remember, the torments of hell itself as he hung on the cross. But he passed through the veil of death and conquered that last enemy. Death had claimed him, yes, just for a time, but now was Christ risen from the dead. And so he says, "All authority has been given to me." Do you hear what he says? All authority. All ruling power and authority has been given to Christ. He is about, as he speaks these words, he is about to ascend into heaven, to the throne of God. He is about to bodily enter heaven, out of the sight of the disciples, to sit on the throne of God. He is the King. He is King of kings. All authority, all power, all rule has been given to Christ. And look at the scope of that power and authority. As he lays it out in verse 18, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven. In other words, our Lord says that all authority over spiritual powers has been given to me. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says of Christ, listen, God raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. And God placed all things under his feet. Colossians 2:15 says, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he, that is Christ, made a public spectacle of them. Imagine that. Made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ has absolute authority over all spiritual power. And this authority includes authority over the prince of darkness himself. You turn back in Matthew to chapter 12, we see this. Jesus speaks about it. Matthew 12, verses 22 through 29. Matthew 12, 22 through 29. Then there was brought to him a demon-possessed man who was blind and dumb, and he healed him, so that the dumb man spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and began to say, this man cannot be the son of David, can he? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this man casts out a demon only by Beelzebul, the ruler of demons. And knowing their thoughts, he said to them, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and any city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebul cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Consequently, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come among you. Or how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds the strong man? And then he will plunder his house. The very fact that Jesus entered Satan's house and cast out those demons shows his superiority over Satan. This is what Jesus clearly says in verse 29. Or how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds the strong man? Is there a sense in which Satan himself is bound? Yes. Yes, there is. The authority of Christ is pervasive. Revelation 1:18 says, I am the first and the last. And of course, that's Christ speaking. I am the first and the last, the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one will open. There are some amazing words in Matthew 10 in which Jesus says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Is Jesus saying, fear the devil? No. He is saying, fear God. You see, it is Christ who has the keys of death and Hades. And so he says, all authority in heaven has been given to me. And look what else he says. All authority has been given to me on earth. You see, it's not only in heaven, it's not only the spiritual powers of this universe over which Christ has authority. Christ has been given authority over all the earth. I'm not sure we comprehend that. A few moments ago, we spoke of Satan being bound. And another place in which the binding of Satan is spoken of is in Revelation 20. I want you to turn there to Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. Revelation 20, 1 through 3, where it says, "And I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the abyss and the great chain in his hand, and he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him, so that he could not deceive the nations any longer until 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time." Why is it that Satan is bound? The answer is clearly given in verse 3. "So that he should not deceive the nations any longer." The binding of Satan has to do with the deceiving of the nations of this world. And you know, Satan no longer has total sway over the nations of the world. Satan no longer has the power to deceive the nation. I know that runs contrary to the understanding of Revelation 20 that a lot of people hold these days. But as you look at the earth, you see this. Before the coming of Christ, there was only one nation in this earth to which the oracles of God were given, the nation of Israel. And now the oracles of God circle the globe. The power of Satan was broken at the cross. Yes, he's still at work, this devil. And the spirit of Antichrist is still present. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And his work as a great deceiver is still present. But my friends, the devil cannot stop the advance of the gospel. He cannot. With regard to his ability to deceive the nations, he is bound. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who has final authority over the nations. Look again at Matthew 28. Isn't this what he says? "All authority has been given to me in heaven and upon earth." All authority. Not just limited authority. All authority. He has full authority in the spiritual realm, and he is the one who holds final authority and power in this earth. And so, on the basis of that great claim, Jesus says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations." Let's go on. That's Christ's great claim. Look at the words of great comfort that he gives. In verse 20, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Behold, Jesus says. Take note, remember, friends, pay close attention now, because I've got something really important to tell you, and I want you to remember it.
If you don't grasp what I'm about to tell you, I am in fear that you will find my great commission is too great for you. I fear that you may not grasp my great claim. All authority in heaven and upon earth has been given to me, and you must personally come to grips with that claim. You must understand it. You must experience it in your heart, and you must have that claim soaking in your will so that everything that you do in this world is under that claim. You must be overtaken by the knowledge of the truth. And if you are not, my great commission may very well seem too great to you. And so listen, I have something very important to say. I am with you. I am with you. You see what Jesus is saying? The King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. The one who is over all, who ascended into heaven. Who ascended through the heavens and sat at God's right hand. This Jesus who is described in Revelation chapter 1, who we see in glory and splendor. Before whom John falls in fear and trembling. Whose feet are like burnished bronze and whose face is shining like the sun. This Jesus says to you and to me, I am with you. I am with you. I think we fail here also to grasp the significance of the words of Jesus. You know, he doesn't say, I promise to come to you if you find difficulty. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, well, come and stand by me if you encounter grief or heartache. As good as that may be, and as wonderful as that may be, he doesn't say that either. He says something far more wonderful. I am with you. He says that to you and to me. Take a deep breath. Go ahead, take a deep breath. Jesus is closer than the air that you breathe. I am with you. And notice the reference to time that he gives. I am with you always. We could translate that phrase, I am with you. Day in and day out. If you're like me, you get tired and sometimes you want to get away by yourself, get off by yourself. But our Lord Jesus is not like that. He says, I am with you day in and day out. And how long is he to be with us? I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Christ will come a second time in glory. That will mark the end of this age. This age that Jesus is talking about is that age between the first coming and the second coming of Christ. And during that time, Jesus says, I will be with you day in and day out. There'll be some tremendous things that happen when Christ comes again a second time in glory. The dead will be raised. Believers will be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. And Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, so shall we ever be with the Lord. At that time, things will change drastically. Then we will be with the Lord forever in glory. But until that time, Jesus says, I am with you. How is this possible? Well, our Lord and Savior explains it a little bit in John. Listen to John 14, for instance. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor, the Spirit of Truth, to be with you forever. The world cannot accept this Counselor because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Christ, by His Spirit, dwells in the believer. In essence, Jesus says, on the day that the Spirit enters you, you will realize that I am in you and with you. That's the word of comfort that Jesus gives. I am with you. Now, all of this, of course, has the greatest possible application to us. Christ's commission to us as Christians and as a church is to make disciples. And that great commission rests squarely on the foundation of Christ's great claim and His words of great comfort. Tell you what, if Christ doesn't have all authority in heaven and upon earth, it's impossible for us to go out and fulfill that great commission. If Christ's claim is not true, board up the doors. Board them up. And if Christ's words of great comfort are not real, we have no power to carry out Christ's great commission. If they're not real, we better not only board up the doors, we ought to go home, because our Christianity is vain. But you see, the point is that they are true. Christ's great commission is right there in the center, between that great claim and those words of great comfort. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Our problem too often is that we react to the world around us as though those things were not true. Isn't that the case? The case with me very often, I know. How can you lack courage when you know Christ is King? How can you lack resolve when you know Christ your King is with you, empowering you? But then the pessimism creeps in. And you hear it time after time. The world is bound to get worse, so don't expect to be able to go forward. Let it get worse. Christ is King. That's what He's telling us. Are there reasons for you to be pessimistic if trial or opposition or sickness or whatever it is comes? No. Christ, your King, is with you. Is there the capability to live the life that Christ commands in the Scriptures? Yes, there is. Christ, your King, is with you. Is it possible for the church to carry out and implement the Great Commission? Yes. Let pessimism be banished from our thoughts. Christ the King is with us. All authority, Jesus says, has been given to me in heaven and upon earth. And that claim is true. And not only that, Jesus says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, pour your Spirit out upon us that we may hear your word and know the greatness of Christ and the power that undergirds our lives as we seek to serve Him. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.